This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. What do you do when unity gets challenged, especially in a relationship that you really care a lot about? This is episode 39 of season one of the podcast Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. Thanks for following along. Thanks for being a part of this. I hope you find yourself in a place that you can sort of just sit back a little bit and take this in. Maybe you're driving, sipping some coffee, working around the house, but hopefully you can slow down enough to really process what the scriptures say about the unity and just how important it is and what do we do when it does get challenged. Our recent podcast theme is missed calls. We're looking at those places in the New Testament where it says that God has a specific call upon our lives. We're comparing it to a phone call that we don't want to miss. These calls upon our life are what God expects from us. He has designed us for, and really when we experience them, when we apply them to our lives and we live them out, it makes life rich and full. And when we don't, we miss out on so much of what God wants and expects from our lives. And so these have been important to look at these along the way. And the one we're considering today comes from Ephesians chapter 4. The very beginning of the chapter, it says this, it says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. So we want to ask ourselves, what is that calling? In this case, what is being spelled out that we are supposed to do? A couple verses later, we learn what that is. It says in Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So this is what the call is, that we are called to be united. You know, division is so prevalent all around us, and conflict. I was just talking to someone today who witnessed a fight in the Costco parking lot, over parking, I think. It just is epidemic everywhere we turn, the conflict and the division. But within God's people and among God's people, He calls us to be unified. He calls us to live a life that's worthy, that is a life that is worthwhile, a life that's worth it. And that means pouring ourselves into unity, especially in the relationships that we cherish, especially within the church. I was talking about that this past Sunday, and I used the analogy of a jigsaw puzzle because we have a jigsaw puzzle. It's on our dining room table right now. My wife and daughter are working on it. I shared on Sunday that I'm not a real big fan of jigsaw puzzles, don't really love doing them. I don't have the patience for them. And that was really validated for me later on that evening. My daughter was over, and my wife and she were working on the jigsaw puzzle. This particular puzzle, you know, if I'm good at anything, I'm good at the edges. I have the patience to kind of put the edges together. Well, this particular puzzle actually had straight edges within the middle of the puzzle. Now, to me, that is cruel. You know, you find a line of straight edges. You go, here's a border of the picture, and then you realize, no, this comes from the absolute middle of the puzzle. That's why I'm not a big fan of jigsaw puzzles. Come on, that's unfair. Anyway, I'm not so much into jigsaw puzzles, but I do love what they illustrate. I love the fact that every piece is different. Different shapes, colors, patterns. Each one is unique. No two pieces alike, but they all fit together. And when they do, they create this beautiful single picture, whatever it's trying to convey. And I love that because that's such a great picture of what the church is all about, God's people. We each bring something unique to the table. We're each different and designed differently by God. But just like a puzzle, we're designed to fit together in a unified way. And in the case of God's people, we don't just form any picture, but we create this living picture of God, and the unified God who has come to us in the world through Jesus Christ. It's a great thing to think about, that analogy. And it really fits with what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 4, this that we are called to unity. We're called to unity for a number of reasons. First of all, we're called to unity because it reflects the very nature of God. God, everything he does is unified. We're also called to unity because that's what Jesus died for. He died for us to be unified. He prayed that that would happen, and then he died to make sure that that was true. And so when verse 3 of chapter 4 of Ephesians says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, it doesn't say that we're supposed to create it or manufacture it or drum it up or somehow, create something that isn't there. We're simply supposed to keep what Jesus has already provided for us, already secured for us. We maintain what he has established. But, you know, when you think about it, the reason this is hard is because people are people. The reason this is hard is because there seems to be something in the human DNA that conflicts with one another, especially when these differences arise. And that's what makes it hard. So Sunday I talked about the reason why unity is so important. Today in this podcast, I'd like to share with you a little bit of how we can resolve conflict and division and disunity when it happens, especially in those relationships that mean so much to us. There's a verse in the Bible that I hear quite often, but almost always I hear it used incorrectly. It's a passage where Jesus says, where two or more gathered, I'll be in their midst. And that almost always is used about prayer. When two or more are gathered, then I'm going to be in the midst. And I guess that gives us a degree of comfort, but it also makes me feel like, well, if I pray by myself, is Jesus not there? And is there something better about praying with others that isn't the same as when I pray by myself? Well, the context of that verse actually doesn't have anything to do with prayer. The context of that verse is about conflict between believers. And so the reason it's two or more is because it takes is two people to have disunity. When two or more people get together, it's almost for sure a recipe for division and conflict. So again, how do we resolve these conflicts? How do we keep the unity that Jesus has secured for us in those relationships that are so key, that are so important? Over the years, I've done a lot of premarital counseling. I've done a lot of it. And there are some principles that apply to marriages that really apply across the board to all the relationships that we care about. And here's just a few principles to keep in mind when you find yourself at odds, at friction, some conflict between you and someone that you value and you care about. The one thing that's just very simple but often overlooked is to schedule a time to address it. This sounds simple, but it's really important to say, because usually when it comes to a conflict within a relationship, usually one person is more inclined to address it and another person is more inclined to avoid it. And scheduling a time actually accommodates both sides of the equation, both types of people. The one that wants to address it, it's helpful to schedule a time because it gives them the assurance that, yeah, we're going to deal with this. There's a slot in the calendar. There's a moment that we've set aside that we're going to address this. And for the avoider, it allows them to internally process and prepare for that and not feel like they have to get into it right now. But it gives them a little bit of space between that and the encounter. So simply scheduling a time is something that if that even happened, so many of our conflicts would be minimized if we simply took the time to say, let's schedule a time to talk about this. Then secondly, to remember that most people, what they really long for is to be understood, not necessarily that you agree with them, but that you really understand where they're coming from. And so, especially in these important relationships, take the time to really understand where the other person is coming from. I feel like it's so easy for us to spend the time defending our point of view and, you know, making our case. Instead, take the time to really understand their point of view. Not only to understand it, but to articulate it. Say, "I is this what you're saying? Here's what I think I hear. This is what it feels like to me is important to you." And articulate it. You know, spell it out and then ask them, is that close? Is that what you're saying? And usually they will, they'll agree, but then they'll probably add some more or correct it or tweak it or change it a little bit and continue to do that so that you feel like you've expressed well where the other person's point of view. You might even, I mean, this is just a little tweak here, a little go-to tip. That is, you might even want to exaggerate their point a little bit. Take what they're saying and exaggerate it. I find when couples do this, especially when they say, "Oh, wow, that sounds like that is like horrific. Like, how did you even survive that?" You kind of go overboard with it a little bit. That softens it for the person. They feel like, okay, you're understanding this, and they then often, you know, backpedal a little bit. Well, it's not the end of the world. It's not the worst thing ever. But it was, you know, kind of bad, or this does make me feel this way. Whatever it is, but to take the time, no matter what, to understand the other person's position. Now, that's easier said than done, because if this is a heated conflict, we want so much to express our position. But if that's understood, that each one is going to try to understand the other's position, it's going to be so much better than if each one is just simply trying to make their case. The third thing to do is to emphasize what's important to the other person. If the other person is someone who tends to want to, you know, address conflict and bring it up, and it's because they want to solve it. They care about the relationship and the way that demonstrates itself, and that they want to solve this. So for that person, really emphasize the value of solving this. If that's the person that you're talking to and they tend to be the one that often brings it up, say, you know, "Yeah, I want to solve this too. I want us to come up with a good solution." If, on the other hand, the person that you're talking to is the type of person that often avoids conflict, then you want to emphasize the idea that the security of the relationship. This relationship is strong, and this conflict is not going to rock this relationship in any way. We're good. We're tight. We're friends. We're going to solve this. We're going to get beyond this. We're going to be good on the other side of this. So you emphasize the security of the relationship. So think about a little bit what the other person needs. Do they need to know that we're dealing with this, or do they need to know we're good regardless? And finally, I think just a tip that's been so helpful is the idea of consider a third way. Once both sides are articulated, both sides are addressed, both sides are understood, you still may not agree. You still may be on two different sides. But is there a third option that you haven't considered? I've discovered that so many of the conflicts we have are not yes, no, black, white, stay, go, as if there's only two options, buy, sell. You know, there's often a third compromise position that accommodates the values and the perspectives and the things that are important to each side. So take the time to really say, is there something we could do that is accommodates both? Sometimes it's just simply as easy as buying yourself some time to say, let's continue to work on this, but maybe now isn't exactly the right time to pull the trigger on the decision, the conflict, the issue. But let's let a few more things come to light. Let's learn a few more things, and then we'll be able to have more information to move forward. So sometimes it's just simply a matter of timing. Sometimes it's a matter of style, the approach that you take. Sometimes it's just adding something else that to the decision that makes it feel like both sides have been addressed and accommodated. So again, scheduling a time, remembering to take the time to really understand, emphasizing what the other person needs to hear, and then look for a third way. All of those things, that they work well in marriages, and they can work well in a lot of the relationships that you care about. It's worth the work. It's worth the time, because Jesus prayed that we would be unified. He died on the cross to make it happen, and he's in the middle of it. As that verse tells us, when two or more are gathered, we would add the expression in a conflicted, divisive experience, a relationship, Jesus says and promises to be in the middle of that. Well, again, this has been a deeper dive into a message that I gave on Sunday. If you want to hear that message, you can always go to our sister podcast, greenvalleychurch.com. Well, that's our website, or you can go to our sister podcast, Green Valley Church Podcast, to catch it. And if you want to ask me questions or just reach out to me, you can always email me at unhurriedpodcast@gmail.com. I'm grateful to have you following along with me. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.